great treasure have they who love thy law, or as boundless wealth and priceless spoil, as we heard. May the Lord minister to us as we open his word for this morning. In 2 Corinthians 2, we begin reading at verse 12 till chapter 3, verse 6, and then we turn to the passage that contains our text, chapter 5. First of all, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? But we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now we turn to chapter 5, and we start reading at verse 17 till the end. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thus far God's precious word to us. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children and young people, several years ago, someone shared with me a very little moving video about a tribe in Papua New Guinea. And they received a Bible. They received the Bible and dedicated the Bible that was translated into their own language. And this is something I never forgot. This is something that I was impressed about, because there was such joy. It was just amazing. And there was such thankfulness. And there was such reverence for the fact that now they had the Word of God in their own language. And don't you think that's humbling for us Westerners who have so many Bibles in our houses and can take the Word of God for granted? But what stood out especially to me was this. There was this remark. One of the people said, God is so good by giving us His precious Word. We are so happy because through His Word, God Himself has come to us and God has been visiting us. What a profound statement. How true that is. When God comes and sends His Spirit, we know that God is coming to us. He is stooping down to our level. He is visiting us. In the Gospel, He visits us, especially through Christ, the living Word. He stoops down and wants to be with us. And He comes when He comes. He hinders everything that is in the way of a relationship toward Him. He comes for what? And that's the theme for this morning. He comes for reconciliation. That's what Paul talks about in the verses that follow from the passage that we have been studying the last few weeks. That through the ministry of the Word, and through the servants who bring the Word, in the power of the Spirit, God is visiting with us. Our text is 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. I read verse 18 only at this time. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So our theme is be reconciled to God. God gives a glorious mediator. Verse 18. Verse 19, God gives a gracious ministry. Verse 20, God gives a gripping message. God gives a glorious mediator. Now our text begins with these words, all things are of God. Let's remind ourselves, what have we seen? What has Paul been talking about? All things are for God, of God. A believer was dead, is made alive. If one died for all, then all are dead. And therefore, a believer is a new creature. We saw that last week. A new creation. Through new birth, a new heart, a new spirit, new desires. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And Paul is stressing with this phrase that miracle of the new birth. All things are of God. That's of God. All of Him. He does it. It's His power. And we consider that this new birth is part of a greater project, if you will, of reconciliation. A glorious big plan. What is it? The new creation, the new heavens, the new earth. A world that is reconciled to God. A world at peace with God. Perfectly. We talked last week about Colossians 1 verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So God is going to reconcile this world with heaven and earth, angels and saints, a glorious new world, a universal salvation, you could reconciliation, not a universal salvation. Not everybody will be saved, but this is the plan. God's glorious plan of redemption and reconciliation as He also comes to judge this world. We have seen that. Also in this chapter. We began with that. And now what is so astounding is this. God comes to us. God takes that first move. God takes the initiative to reconcile the world which is at war with Him. God is so amazing and so gracious that He gives His only begotten Son and tells us what He has done. Verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. All comes from God. This reconciliation is from God. God takes that first step. God has made provision for sinners to be reconciled to Him. How? Through Jesus Christ. We know the answer. Through reconciliation. What is reconciliation? The word that is used here for reconciliation is sometimes just simply exchanging one thing for another. But in this context, it means changing someone from an enemy into a friend. That's how good God is. Two parties who are at odds with one another are brought together in loving friendship. God, holy and just and righteous and too holy to see our sins and to tolerate them. And He comes and brings reconciliation with us. Fallen, ruined, far away. And saying, I don't want this God. I want myself on the throne. God comes to those who are distrusting Him. God is harsh. I can't trust Him. God is not good. God is not kind. That kind of enmity. They're enemies of God. Is there some enemies? Have you found the enemy in your sight yourself? If you're not saved, that's how God sees you, as an enemy. Maybe more rebellious or less rebellious. Fighting. Fighting. And God says, by the words of Isaiah, behold, the Lord's hand is not shorter that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. What is the problem then? Your iniquities have separated you. And your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. So sin is our great problem. It's the problem of our heart, of our desires. And yes, it's especially also the problem of our thinking. Our thinking is out of sorts. We can't think straight anymore. Colossians 1:21 says that by nature we are alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works. So our thinking, our heart, wicked works is the result. And Ephesians 4 verse 18 says our understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart. Do you see that? Darkness, alienation, which means I'm far from God. I'm not close to God anymore. Ignorance means I don't know God as I should. Blindness means I don't see God as I should. That's what we are by nature. Not only estranged from God, but fighting God. Darkness in our mind and thoughts. Not wanting to give Him the place that He so deserves. Someone said, sin is this. It's the beautiful glory of God not honored. It's the amazing holiness of God not reverenced. It's the greatness of God not admired. It's the power of God not praised. It's the truth of God not sought. It's the wisdom of God not esteemed. It's the beauty of God not treasured. The goodness of God not savored. The faithfulness of God not trusted. The commandments of God not obeyed. The justice of God not respected. The wrath of God not feared. The grace of God not cherished. The presence of God not prized. The person of God not loved. That's sin. That's sin. None seeks God. There's no one good but God. And now our text says God moves toward us through His Word. He takes that initiative. He comes with reconciliation. He comes and says, I come and make peace. I want a friendship. How? By Jesus Christ. He presents to us a mediator. He says, I can bridge the gap through Jesus Christ. You can approach me because of Jesus Christ. I can break that enmity in your heart, that anger in your heart. I can heal your heart. I can take it away. I can take away the alienation that you have, that separation from God. I can reconcile you to myself through the precious Lord Jesus Christ. While we were yet enemies, Romans 5, He came to reconcile us to Himself by the death of His Son. So that long-standing quarrel ever since the fall that everyone is involved in, that fight against God ever since the serpent was whispering into our ears, God is not trustworthy. Trust yourself. Spurgeon says it like this. That fight, God is not willing for the quarrel to continue. According to the goodness of His nature, He delights in love. He is the God of peace, and He has on His part prepared everything that is necessary for a perfect reconciliation. His glorious wisdom has devised a plan whereby, without violating His justice as the judge of all the earth, and without tarnishing His perfect holiness, He can meet man upon the ground of mercy. And man can again become the friend of God. Through the mediator. Reconciliation. Friend of God. I recently heard another little story about Papua New Guinea. And those were two warring tribes. Not at peace. At war. They were vicious. They were killing one another and they were eating one another. And one day the missionary who was there had heard about a new quarrel, a new fight, and they were ready. They were in battle. They were standing over against each other, ready to kill one another. But the missionary had learned something about their culture too. That sometimes instead of fighting, what they would do, they would say, they would give a child to the other one. Each one would give a child and exchange a child to the other one. And then they would sacrifice that little child and that would make peace. It was called the peace child. So the missionary, knowing this, he hurried to the battlefront and placed himself to the two warring parties, and he announced the good news that they could make peace and that they would no longer need to fight each other because a peace child had been found and had been killed for them already. He preached the gospel of God, the Creator, who has made peace through the blood of His Son, to reconcile Himself by the blood of Jesus. and being reconciled, to reconcile then also with one another. And that simple message is today preached to you. There is a peace child killed, a sacrifice, so that warring parties can now be no longer at odds with one another. And this message there in Papua New Guinea made anger to cease. Fighting stopped. They went home. And many were converted. That, beloved, is the gospel. God comes announcing peace through the blood of Jesus Christ to those who are far from God, for those who are fighting God, for those who don't like to know God. And because He wants us to know this message, He gives His people who are reconciled to Him a message, a ministry, a gracious ministry. That's second here. Verse 18 again, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So the question is, who are the us? Of course, we know Paul, right? Paul is writing this, the apostles. Who are they today? We can say, oh, obviously, those are the pastors, those are the evangelists, those are the missionaries, those who are the people who are ordained in the ministry. And yes, that's absolutely true. They especially, but not exclusively. Recently, Pastor preached about blessed are the peacemakers. When we have been made peace, when God has made, set us at peace with Himself through Jesus Christ, then this task is for us too. In a different capacity, yes, absolutely. But ye shall be my witnesses, right at the place where God puts you. This is a task for all of us that know this peace and desire others to know about this peace. Sometimes it's just simply about praying. Some people have the gift of prayer for others. Some have more the gift of speaking. Some have the gift of serving. But all in the name of Jesus Christ for His glory. And so this is the task of parents. When we interact with our children and they rebel against us, we have to remind ourselves how we were rebellious against God and how still our hearts are sometimes at odds with God, not fighting back. Now we need to humble ourselves. And then we can bring that same gospel of reconciliation to our children. And we can say, your heart is disquieted, it's not at peace, not with us and not with God as a result. But God can give you peace. Don't fight. He's able to take away that anger, that sin out of your heart. He's willing, He's able. This is a task for us when we have opportunity, as God gives us opportunity, as we interact with other people all around us, our unsaved colleagues or fellow students or neighbors or what. There's this glorious message that we have. God is moving towards sinners. Through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, He's coming toward us. He takes the initiative. Should we not move toward others then? Pleading for the Holy Spirit to move toward those who desperately need it and say, Lord, give us opportunities, give us souls, give us words, give us everything that we need. All around us there's opportunities. We're seeking to make peace, showing sinners they can be in a state where we enjoy peace with God. Because God has given His peace child, His Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. The text says, He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Salvation is a gift. But such a ministry, whether we do that in an ordained capacity or as a peacemaker day to day, is also a gracious gift of God. All things are of God. Also such a ministry. in whatever place God has placed you. Do you receive it as such? He comes in His grace and mercy to unworthy rebels, reconciling. What a mission, what a ministry. And hath committed unto us, verse 19 says, the word of reconciliation. He's entrusted that to us. Committed to us. The word of reconciliation. How glorious a task that is. And how glorious when you think about how such a sinner as I am. What a privilege. What a privilege. Office bearers, parents, teachers, co-workers. I'm sure you say, I'm so weak, Pastor. Absolutely. I fail. Yes, absolutely. I do too. I'm with you. Right there. But we listen to Paul in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and what do we see? He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. It's a glorious gift in a breakable clay pot. Not so beautiful. Weak. Failing. And God has lodged that treasure of the gospel in us. Put it in us. A sacred treasure. A treasure. If God does that, if everything is of God, then He can make us a vessel of honor fit for the Master's use. He can. Let's pray for that. What a privilege. What a privilege. Believers, parents, office bearers, do we agree with Paul that it is such a privilege? That he has entrusted to us the gospel of peace and reconciliation. And he gives us a word picture about this task so that we can kind of have an idea as to what our task is. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. What are ambassadors? What do they do? First, an ambassador lives in a strange country. He's a diplomat. He does official things for the government. And in that country, he represents the government of his home country. The king or the president. And so, ambassadors are involved in bringing official messages on behalf of their country. They are to seek peace and friendly relationships. So Paul is saying we saved Christians are ambassadors. We represent this unseen realm, this heavenly kingdom of God. And Christ is our king. And we represent Him in the way we live and the way we love and the way we speak. That's first. Ambassadors. Second, ambassadors in their official capacity have a message that's only the message that God gives to them. 1 Peter 4. As every man hath received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, the words of God, the prophecies of God, that is. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Do you see? Everything gift. Why? Why does God give these gifts? Speaking and ministering, serving, that is. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion. A word of a kingdom again. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen, it says there. So all of God. We need to be well acquainted as ambassadors with the scriptures so that we can explain them, so that we can proclaim them, so that we can enforce them in the terms that God has given us. That we know what makes for reconciliation. Do we know the scriptures? The terms? Even, do we live them? Because ambassadors need to live them. Do we live them, young people, when others don't? All of us, when others don't, and the majority in the world says, no, this is right and this is true, and God's kingdom and God's word says, no, this is right and that's true. Do we live them? And that brings us to the third thing here of an ambassador. We should never fear the man, what man can do unto us, the hostile responses that this message can give, this message of peace. Sometimes we get hostile responses. We are called to do the right thing. We are called to remember that through Christ there is victory already, regardless of the response. He sends His ambassadors as lambs among wolves. Because the world is at war with God. And we know that the world rejects God. We know that Satan seeks to gain more and more control of this world. We know that those that are outside Christ are at war with God. But we read also chapter 2, didn't we? This message is always victorious. It's saying. It's either a savor of life unto life or death unto death. It's going to do something. Hardening or softening. He will be victorious. And whatever the response, He simply asks us to be proclaimers of that peace. To follow Him, to take up our crosses, to deny ourselves. And He said to His disciples, each one of them, learners. Disciple means learner. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and I will make you fishers of men as well. Different passage mixed in there. So the response doesn't... The message of the gospel can be that it brings division. Enmity. Christ instructed His disciples... Luke 12, verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Some of you know by painful experience how the gospel can divide. It's hard. If we suffer persecution and division for what is right, we should rejoice, Christ tells us. We need to be faithful to our King, faithful to the message. We need not fear. Because just as earthly ambassadors are protected by the crown, by the King Himself, so heavenly ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, they are protected by the crown, the King of Kings. If God is for us, who shall be against us? So young people, that's what you need to remember, especially when you get into difficulty, maybe at college or in the workforce, or when you say something on behalf of Jesus Christ, you can expect hatred, you can expect resistance because of Christ. But be comforted when you speak the truth in love, and others might call it hate speech or bigotry or whatever they call it. It only matters ultimately what God says about it. If we confess Him before others, He has promised to confess us before His Father one day in glory. We can't see it, but we trust that it's true. Because God's Word says so. And we know in our hearts that it's true by the Holy Spirit. So let's follow him. Especially in the times in which we live, which seem to be darkening times when it comes to the gospel, hostility against the gospel. Let us never forget that the King of Kings protects his ambassadors. He stands with them. Even when they would be brought before courts, he says, I will give you a message. If God is for us, who shall be against us? They can only kill the body, but God himself can kill body and soul in hell. Let's fear him. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. But maybe someone says, well, I'm not an ambassador. I'm still on the enemy's side. I hope it really hits home today. I pray it does. I'm on the enemy's side. And I ask you, have you considered the cost of fighting against Almighty God? His kingdom is eternal. His glory will consume his enemy one day at his coming. He's able to consume you in a moment's time. Who's going to win? It's much better that you come to that mediator that we talked about just a moment ago. We could call him the greatest ambassador there is of the gospel. He came and visited us in this strange country, the sinful fallen world, on behalf of sinners. He can make peace on your behalf. This ambassador, Jesus Christ is his name, said in Luke 14, or what king going to make war against another king sits not first down and consults whether he's able with 10,000 to meet that comes against him with 20,000? Do you think about that? How much power do you have, and how much power God has? My unconverted friend, you will never be able to continue your fight against God. You will lose. You're called to make peace. And the Lord Jesus then said in the next verse in Luke 14, he says, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. He sends an ambassage and desires the conditions of peace. Tell me, what do we need to do to make peace? Let's listen to that after we sing. God gives a gripping message. Have you noticed how involved God is from A to Z? All things are of God. We started with that. He gives the new birth. He reconciles sinners through the ministry of reconciliation. He gives them a task description. They are ambassadors. And now listen to verse 19, to wit, that means, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He gives the word. The word of reconciliation, he gives it. It's all from him, it's all through him, and it's all to him. To God be all the glory. Now, what are the terms that the ambassadors come with? What are the terms they present? Colossians 1:13. He delivers us from the power of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of his dear son. He does it. He takes us out of that wicked kingdom of Satan and puts us right into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of his dear son. What precious word. Of his beloved son. Kingdom of his dear son. He does it. And to whom comes this message? What does our text say? The world. The world. So it comes to perishing rebels in a fallen world, whether you're here in church or in the world and you're not saved. Everyone who was not before we were saved, were part of that rebellious world. In our thoughts, we like the world. In our lives, we lived like the world. In our loves, we loved like the world. And to such sinners, such rebels, such people blinded by their unbelief, blinded by their wicked works, as we saw, alienated from God, Christ comes and he says, I come to seek and to save those who are lost. The world. Listen to what God says. God has done in Jesus Christ. What does he do? Our text says, God reconciles the world unto himself. How? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, the Lord says, well, let's settle accounts for a moment. Let's make up the balance sheet. What can you offer? And what can I offer? And we can offer what? Hatred, wickedness, sins, pride, unbelief, self-righteousness, blindness, rebellious hearts. Nothing more. And then God says, those things I will put on Christ's account. They're no more yours. I give them to Christ. And what Christ has, I will put on your account. Next week we hope to hear more about that. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Those are the terms. Christ has met the terms. That's the good news of the gospel. You no longer have to account for your own sins. That's the message every ambassador is to bring to the world, to enemies, to sinners, to the worst of the worst. Everyone you can find in the church, at the home, at your work, on the street, at the gas station, wherever. Christ, God, for Christ's sake, forgives sins. He doesn't count them against us anymore. Isn't that a good message? Glorious. Have we embraced it? Have we said yes, yes, yes? I trust it, Lord. Even when you say it, help my unbelief, Lord. Help me to trust it more. And are we so full of it that we say, Lord, help me to share it. Help me to bubble over. Everything that separates, everything that alienates from God is now imputed, that is paid for by Jesus Christ. Who does it? God. But the amazing thing is that he comes with spirit-empowered ambassadors to come close, to bring it to us. You would say, why doesn't he bring angels to us? They are at least sinless. But instead, he says, I use weak and sinful reconciled sinners. And I will give them something special through the power of the Spirit. What is it? Verse 20. Now we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you. By us we pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What is so special about this verse? He gives his servants authority. Authorities to speak on his behalf. So when God's servants speak, in a special measure, God's ordained servants, but every Christian in our peacemaking ministries at home or wherever it is, to the degree that we live close to the Lord and walking in the Spirit, we have spiritual authority. Because it says here, as though God did beseech you by us. We're speaking with God-given authority so that it is as if God is speaking through us. And then, what is our calling? Beseeching. What does that mean? Beseeching. Calling upon, entreating, exhorting, admonishing to the world. Be reconciled to God. To the church. Be reconciled to God. God has made peace in Christ. Now receive that peace. Receive that peace by faith in Christ. Unbeliever, receive that peace for the first time. Hold up your empty hands and say, Lord, give me that peace that passeth all understanding. And believers, say it again when you have failed. You have been wandering away from your dear and beloved Savior. Say it, Lord, Thou art coming with this word of peace again to me today. I want daily peace. I want ongoing peace. I want peace in my heart so that whatever happens around me, that I am not shaken. That I walk by faith. That I walk in the Spirit. Give me that peace, Lord. Because He can make peace every day, every moment. Come to Him afresh. And so as ambassadors, we speak on His behalf, so much so that rejection of our words is rejection of the Word of God Himself. Luke 10, He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. Timothy was written by Paul in Thessalonians 4 verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us unto us his Holy Spirit. See how serious it comes is to come to church and to be under the word, and how we go out of this building. Do you see how serious it is to reject the word, not to listen to it, to close our hearts for it, to despise the message or the messenger? In fact, we are despising God, it says here. Now, it doesn't mean that pastors are infallible. Not at all. God's word is infallible. Pastors are not. Pastors, as we saw, were clay pots. They are weak. If you find a flaw in them, you can find lots in them. It's no wonder. But and we can come and we can honestly and humbly ask for clarifications or corrections. There's nothing wrong with that. Beloved, don't be afraid to do that when necessary. But it means that when we despise the message and his messengers, that we are on very dangerous territory. Very dangerous territory. Because that means that we are hardening our hearts toward God. Now, the best is for last here. Because here's the good news. Here is the good news. There is such a beautiful and astonishing appeal in these last verses. It's amazing. Listen to this. We pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What does this mean? If you need reconciliation, again, as a child of God in the sense of daily close walk, and you need more peace, then he comes and begs you today, come closer. If you are in your sin and unsaved, he comes to you and stoops to you so low, he says, I beg you, be reconciled. I beg you. I plead with you. I ask you. I'm earnest about this. Be reconciled with God. This is astonishing. God begging. God begging sinners. Spurgeon said it like this. As I came along this morning, I felt as if I could bury my head in my hands and weep, as I thought of God beseeching anybody. He speaks and it is done. Myriads of angels count themselves happy to fly at His command. And yet man has so become God's enemy that he will not be reconciled to Him. God would make Him His friend and spend the blood of His dear Son to cement that friendship, but man will not have it. See how the great God turns to beseeching His obstinate creature? In this I feel a reverent compassion for God. Must He beseech a rebel to be forgiven? Angels, do you hear it? He who is the King of Kings veils His sovereignty and stoops to beseeching His creature to be reconciled to Him. That's how Spurgeon put it. The King of Kings begging. Begging. The humility of God's heart. Learn of me that I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your soul. My unconverted friend, this morning, through His word, He is coming to you, and especially to you, He comes and begs you to make peace with Him. Be reconciled to Him. By trusting in what He has done in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know how to believe, He can give everything you need, because be reconciled with God. It's to a certain sense, it's be ye. It means it's passive. It's God's work from the beginning to the end. Yet He says, call. If you need this, call upon me. And I will answer you. Ask, it shall be given. So I come to you as an ambassador of Christ, especially to the you who have not been saved so far. And I come to you beseeching you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, on His behalf. I plead with you, be ye reconciled to God. In Papua New Guinea, they understood this. That when God gives His word, He comes to us to reveal Himself to us. He's showing that He wants a friendship with us. And this text shows that when God sends preachers that are coming to us, then God Himself is coming close and He wants to reconcile. He seeks our heart. He seeks our friendship. So my dear unsaved friend, do you understand this? This amazing, amazing message that God moves close. When God opens your eyes, you will. He will. You will. And when He does so, and when He even maybe is tugging at your heart right now, that means He's work to do. He's working on your heart right now. So that you will be saved. And my dear fellow believer, think for a moment about that tribe in Papua New Guinea, how they received the word with joy. Such joy, such thankfulness, such reverence, such respect. Oh, should we not prize the word? Shouldn't we not prize Christ more? For such amazing grace that He says even today to us, be ye reconciled to God. For such a God who is stooping so low through the Word in the power of the Spirit. Amen.